Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm Mike in Boston, your host this week, and joining me again this week and every other week is...
Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And Chris from Dallas, Texas.
Ah, welcome.
What's up, Mike?
To this week's... I'm doing pretty good. What's up with you?
Good.
I've had
good
a few,
so far.
Extra beers before the podcast today, so I apologize ahead of time. I'll do what I can to keep it together.
You're at the beach house?
Yes. By the time the listeners listen to this, I would have been at the beach house for a week. Yes.
And back.
Nice.
And back. This week, we're covering pale ales.
About it. I'm at the beach house.
The beach house this week.
I'm on vacay.
Anyway.
So, we are covering pale ales this week. Our pale regular ales. Scheduled program is our fermentation conversation, which we are covering Sierra Nevada pale ale. Everybody knows that one.
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty familiar with the Sierra Nevada.
Yeah. And we'll cover our hot topics and our tasting flight today. We got some good stuff. At least we hope it's some good stuff. Toby, what do you got for us?
I've got Kona Brewing Company's Fire Rock pale ale.
Ooh. And Chris?
Sweet. I'm covering Real Ale Brewing's Rio Blanco Pale Ale out of Texas.
All right. I am covering Smutty Nose Shoals Pale Ale.
Smutty Nose.
Then, of course, we go to the Tweet of the Week. Little Backwash, if we got any. I don't know. We get a check. I don't see anything on my list here, but we might have some.
Probably not. We get no love.
Course, last call. Are you guys ready to drink some beer?
I'm ready to drink some Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Nice. We're going to drink some beer. We're going to talk about it. We'll see you soon.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're going to talk about it. We're going to drink some beer. Yeah. Since the fermentation conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to our fermentation conversation. We are going to have some Sierra Nevada pale ale.
Pale ale.
Before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about pale ale.
You can do that, Mike.
Original pale ale was descended from amber-colored October beers brewed in England well before the 1800s. The type that we're going to be talking about, the top fermenting pale ales, is actually well after World War I, which is interesting because it's a fairly new, relatively
the American
speaking, as
pale
far as beer
ales.
Styles go. They call it a pale ale because it's a lightly kilned malt. It's a, you know, pale malts, which, you know, hence the name pale ale. Do you guys have... anything you did mention? We were talking a little bit before we started that the pale ale is kind of like the, I guess it's the gateway
standard beer.
It's the gateway to craft beer. It seems like all the breweries start out with the pale ale. It's kind of like if the macro breweries have their lagers, then the craft brewers have their pale ales, and that's kind of their base. And like, hey, this is where we're going to start with our craft beer.
Well, I wonder if that has anything to do with the simplicity of it, maybe, or just it's pretty straightforward. You know, you just have your main basic ingredients, and you know, going back to the
around,
Rhine Heidskebot and all that, you get your main ingredients.
Experiment with different
things,
but it's a good base. You know,
yeah, it's a pretty basic style because it's basically like a pure malt.
Yeah,
with you know your hops and yeast and water, and you're set. I mean, it's really a really basic style, so that's why it's not hard to get right. So that's why a lot of breweries will start out with that being their go-to style.
I would be curious to find a brewery that actually doesn't brew a pale ale, unless it's something like maybe the brewery out of Orange County that does mostly Belgian-style ales, and maybe they don't even bother with the American pale ales or anything like that.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I guess it would be the breweries that cater towards the English styles, you know, would start with pale ales, because, you know, if they're doing German styles or Belgian styles, then yeah, they're not, most likely they're not going to come out with the pale ale first. Well,
we should crack them.
All right, we can crack them while I'm talking about them. This particular beer is from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. It is Sierra Nevada's pale ale, and that website is www.sierranevada.com. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is their flagship beer, no question about that. In 1979, Ken Grossman built a small brewery in the town of Chico, California. And on November 15th, 1980, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale was born.
Wow.
That's interesting when you think about it, because you know, everybody kind of considers Anchor to be the you know, starting point for the American craft beer. You know, Sierra Nevada wasn't far behind. Anchor started in, what, 1975?
Right.
74. And then, 79 for Sierra Nevada, so they were kind of close behind.
And are they like the second largest craft brewery?
I would imagine. But everything comes out of Chico. You know, they don't have other breweries that I know of.
Yeah.
Out throughout the country, it's just everything is right there. They even have their own hop farms.
Cool. This beer is 5.6 ABV. The IBUs are 37, I believe.
Yeah.
The ingredients for this one is a top fermenting ale yeast, some bittering hops of Magnum and Pearl, and finishing hops of Cascade. Gives that nice citrusy smell.
Yeah.
Malts are two-roll pale and caramel malts. Interesting note about Sierra Nevada. They're a gold medal winner for the Great American Beer Festival, and that was for the American Pale Ale in 1995, 1994, 1993. They also were a gold medal winner for their classic English Pale Ale, 1992. Ooh. And for Pale Ale in 1990, 1989, and 1987. That's a few medals they got there in a few different years. Rate Beer rates it a 92 out of 100, and the Beer Advocate users rate it an A-, and the Ahlstrom Brothers also give it an A-. So we've already poured ours here, and I have pretty good head. I would say a solid finger and a half. Large bubbles.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, nice big bubbles on it.
Half a finger. It's been the same since I poured it a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
Nice golden color, kind of coppery.
Yeah, copper. Very bubbly.
Lots of bubbles. Yeah.
It's copper. Mine's, I don't know if I would call it copper. It just seems lighter than that.
Another cool thing about Sierra Nevada is, well, me personally, I haven't found a beer of theirs that I didn't like. I love their porter, of course, the pale ale. When they come out with their seasonal ones, like the Southern Hemisphere one that they come out with every year now, is awesome.
Celebration.
Celebration is my all-time favorite beer.
It is a good one.
They just seem to... Another funny thing about them is they've been around since 1980, and they're just now coming out with styles that they haven't done before, like the Torpedo. Like they,
yeah.
Who would have thought they didn't have an IPA till now, you know?
Yeah, that is very surprising that they don't have it. And I guess because, you know, you think of this one in particular, it's almost that IPA level of the, you know, hops. Right.
Yeah, this is a very hoppy pale ale.
Yeah. Speaking of which, on
the nose, yeah, right away you can see where they get those cascades fitting in there and those finishing hops. You definitely get that citrus, grapefruit, cascade smell right off the bat.
There's some floral kind hops in there too, but the citrus, yeah, I think, pops out first.
I'm picking up some honey, mm-hmm, and the sweet maltiness. Very nice.
You get kind of a rich malt character to it.
Mm-hmm.
More than I was expecting, because I was really just kind of expected to be dry and bitter. And I'm getting some good sweetness in there and some malt.
It's pretty dry, though.
Yeah.
Good mouthfeel.
It's got a, it's got a very dry finish.
Getting some sweetness in there, though, like maybe some raisiny malt.
I'm getting like a hint of the spiciness. And I can't quite put my finger on what it is.
Yeah, there is some spice in there.
Like that spicy hop character to it.
Yeah. It's funny because most of the time I drink the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is from the bottle. And there is a big difference. When you pour it into a glass, it does mellow it out a little bit. I think it takes a little bit of the extra bitterness out, you know, that from what I remember. Because I remember having Sierra Nevada back in the day and just being like, whoa, this is way too bitter for me. And I don't know if it's just because my palate has changed, drinking all these Imperial IPAs and stuff over the years. And now when I go back to something like the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, it's a lot more mellow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I first had this, I thought in general Sierra Nevada stuff was just straight bitter, you know, and you know, now looking back on it and trying it, it's not even close to as bitter as I once thought. It's definitely more balanced. I think it still leans on the bitter side, but it's definitely
a little
more
bit
balanced,
yeah,
than once I. Than, you
it's
know, than
it's
the
probably
first
a
few
mixture
times
with the dryness too.
Yeah. As far as food, is there anything that you guys would pair it with?
Mm.
Oh,
BLT.
Yeah.
We were talking about bacon earlier, and now I want bacon.
Yeah, I'd go with something, you know, maybe a little bit spicier, some sort of like an Italian spicy sandwich or something. Might be good.
This is a good summertime beer,
Italian
too,
spicy sandwich. I like that. I want to go with Cajun shrimp on this one. I think a good Cajun shrimp with those spices and the bitterness of those hops would go good. Just like a big old bucket of them and a good pitcher of this stuff.
Oh, totally.
Oh, now I really want some bacon wrapped shrimp.
Bacon!
Nice.
Cool.
All right, let's go on to some hop topics, shall we?
Shall we?
The country, this is Hop Topics.
Hop Topics.
I was a little off key. I was a little pitchy, dog.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on,
for this week's Hop Topics, Toby's got something for us. Toby, what you got?
Thank you. I'm just going to talk real quick about something that Anderson Valley Brewing Company is doing, along with a few other brewing companies now. It seems to be a cool little trend that's starting, is they're canning some of their beers. And I would like to have a show coming up where we focus on canned beers. I know my main experience with canned beers has been, you know, Beach Beer, Tecate, Miller Lite, stuff like that. And once I did have the Maui IPA in a can, which I thought was interesting. It was good. I mean, how often do you drink an IPA out of a can? Anyway, Anderson Valley is out of Boonville, California. They've been around since 1987, and they're now canning some of their beers. And the first two beers that they're going to have available this summer are the Summer Solstice Cerveza Crema and their Pollico Gold Pale Ale. You can find them in six packs in California and 25 other states. So I would assume there may be more to come later in the year, whatever. You can check them out at www.avbc.com for more info. And that's all I got. Real quick.
All right.
Awesome. For my hop topic this week,
I want to talk with a little bit less sincerity, will ya?
Are you sincere?
That's
new beer's coming awesome. Out. That's always good.
Yeah.
I'm excited. All right.
Are we done?
Sorry. I'm still drinking beer. You're doing your hop topic.
So my hot topic this week, after looking at it, I actually think I stole it from Mike's region, because most of this has to do with Maine and Massachusetts. But
you bastard!
It's basically talking about beer labels and some banned beer labels. Oh, for
I saw this.
Yeah, it's pretty funny actually. It's awesome. The site that I pulled it from was truetv.com, and I think it's like a crime website. It's a criminal website.
Anyway, it says, is beer this label, is our website.
is beer label art protected under the First Amendment? Maine's Bureau of Liquor Enforcement has banned 3 imported beers, including Santa's Butt, for labels deemed undignified or improper. The beer distributor calls it government censorship and is suing in federal court. Okay. So there's a few different labels. If you go to the website, truetv.com, you can find them.
Totally stole this from Mike. Totally stole.
Yeah, I know. That's okay.
We'll just cut
one
Mike's
of them was called Santa's Butt. Another one is
next week
from Shelton
Coast,
Brothers Breweries.
Colorado beers.
Cantillon is a Belgian style brewery, and like they have this watercolor looking artwork that has a naked girl on the front, and so they banned that one. The one that's really interesting for me, I don't know, over near you somewhere, you should know this.
Yeah.
I stole it from you, remember? The one that I find interesting is Brasier La Chulette did this one.
Our French listeners, please.
Yeah,
please. Let us know how badly Chris pronounced that word.
Which I'm sure was really bad. They did the... okay, I'm going to butcher this part too. Les Sans Culottes.
It's very nice. Good.
The label is actually a famous painting from Eugene Delacroix. The painting is called Liberty Leading the People. It's actually a painting that's in the Louvre in Paris. And Maine banned this label. It's basically a picture of
can't
Lady
use
Liberty,
those labels here.
Lady I'm Liberty flying a French flag you know, into war, and her top is down. Like, her top is kind of tattered, and there's a breast showing. So,
oh my goodness.
Maine, and it's kind of surprising because Maine tends to be a fairly liberal state, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Well, anyway,
they like lobster, I just thought it was interesting. I know that. Yes. And they're very close to Canada.
They're not opposed to naked lobsters.
Yeah. And then there's a couple other Christmas themed ones from Strange Brew. The one that
Strange
I found
Brew, eh?
Yeah, ooh. The one that I found really funny was the Warm Welcome Nut Browned Ale. And it's this picture of Santa coming down the chimney with his butt sort of holding right over the fire, browning his nuts basically.
Sweet.
Right, but that one got banned.
That one's
too.
A little racier, I think, than
the
rest.
But still, I mean,
because even the Santa's Butt Porter or whatever it is like at least he's fully clothed.
Well, this one's fully clothed too. It's not like his nuts are hanging out. His nuts aren't hanging out. But
I think I've had that Santa's Butt one. I think I found it at Cost Plus in a holiday pack.
Yeah,
from the same brewery, and I think that's that. I think
well, it's
I've
just
had that
it's
before.
A silly. There's no reason to ban it. I mean, first of all, it's a beer. There shouldn't be a whole lot of children out there trying to pick it up.
Exactly. It's not like they're trying to cater towards, not like, what is it, Camel cigarettes where they're trying to cater towards
cartoon.
Children. Hey, you like Saturday morning cartoons? Try these cigarettes too.
What was that brewery out of Colorado that does the Mama's Little Yellow Pills? Didn't they have one that was banned also?
Oh, yeah.
The guys and that I do the cans. The guys that do nothing but cans. They had a label that was actually banned, and I think they almost got Mama's Little Yellow Pills banned, too. That one was pretty close.
The ones that do Dale's Pale Ale and...
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a guy's name. I can't
think
remember
of who that is right now.
Anyway.
Well, go on. I'll figure it out in a second.
All right. Well, Chris Googles that. I'll go to my off topic. And my the Oscar title Blues. Of this one is what is it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oscar Blues.
Oscar Blues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Orlando's own craft beer, Orange Blossom Pilsner. The reason I picked this one is I don't talk about Florida and craft beers. I don't really get that many stories on Florida. I haven't had any craft beers from Florida yet, so I wanted to talk about this. And this is their Orange Blossom Pilsner, also
known as... You haven't had Mickey Mouse's Porter?
No, I haven't had Mickey Mouse's Porter. Or Donald Duck's Butt Lager. this one is called Orange Blossom Pilsner, also known as OBP. It has orange blossom honey. It's got like 2.3 teaspoons of orange blossom honey in each bottle.
OBP, yeah, you.
And they have a few. Let's see here. They start off the article, which I thought was kind of interesting. It says craft beer is all the rage these days, and why not? Flavors and florals aplenty can tantalize your nostrils and taste buds instead of the good old go-to brew. And then,
dude, my nostrils are so tantalized right now.
The one of the interesting things was the second sentence to me, as far as it says, is craft beer just a buzzword that marketers use? And
yes.
I hope that that's not the case. I think that some companies may do that, but
right.
I'm hoping that that's not the case, that this the word craft beer isn't just a buzzword to try to get these new breweries to just, you know, sell more beer. But
well,
in
you
any
know,
case, I just thought it was kind of an interesting topic.
If you see the word, if you see that it's a craft beer, something you never had, and you try it, and if you like it, cool, you go back to it. Right. You know, if you can see through it and you say, no, this is crap, then you won't go back to it or whatever, you know? I mean, right. Yeah,
which
they'll
I think the whole
it.
Craft beer movement is about. It's like, you know what? Try this. Decide for yourself. Don't pay attention to the marketing and the advertising, all this stuff. It's like, try it.
True.
You like it? Great. You know, have more. Tell your friends.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I don't know that I would say that the advertising and the marketing isn't a huge piece of it, because, you know,
of course it is. But I think what I'm saying is the message that craft brewers are trying to get across is we're just trying to make the best quality product we can. Hopefully you like it. You know, here you go. Give it a try. That's all. But yeah, beers in Florida. Who knew?
Oh, yeah. When I was down there in Orlando, I was looking for some brewing companies. And there's actually a couple brewing companies that are down there. I didn't get a chance to go to any of them, but they're there.
Oh, Toby didn't get to go to a brewery on his
travels.
I know.
Poor Toby.
All right. We don't get to hear a neat little brewery story this week. Okay, let's move
wait
on.
Wait till my fermentation conversation. I mean, my tasting flight.
I already had that. Oh, well, speaking of your tasting flight, that's up next.
Segway.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okie doke. This is Toby. I'm out in the west. I'm in Nevada.
Okie doke.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Today, on my tasting flight, I will be tasting Kona Brewing Company's Fire Rock Pale Ale. Now, that's Kona Brewing Company, which is www.konabrewingco.com. They're out of Kona, Hawaii.
I love Kona.
Yeah, I've been there. Here goes Hawaii. My brewery been there story. I was there last
summer. My wife was born there.
She was born there?
Jade was born there.
Oh, nice. She was born at the brewery? Awesome.
Yeah.
No, awesome. She's not.
Kona brewery.
She is the Kona brewery baby. You didn't know that? It was in the papers. It used to be a hospital, dude.
Oh, okay.
Do we really have to air all our personal information right now?
Well, it started as a father-son
team. So anyway, let's hear your story.
Well, I was there last summer. I went to the brewing company, had lunch. I believe I had the Fire Rock on tap amongst other beers. And I found out why they put a gecko on their label is because there's freaking geckos climbing all over the place in there. You know, you sit outside and there's geckos on the trees, there's geckos on the tables, all over the umbrellas and stuff. So I was like, oh, maybe that's why they have a gecko on their t-shirts and their label.
No, you know.
Anyway, it started as a father-son team back in 1995. Now, this beer, the Fire Rock Pale Ale, has an ABV of 5.8, and it has 38 IBUs. The ingredients would include a unique blend of two-row pale malt, Munich malt, and honey malts, along with Galena, Cascade, and Mount Hood hops.
Honey.
And their flagship beers would probably be the Big Wave, Golden Ale, the Fire Rock, the Longboard, Island Lager. You'd probably find those out here in the West in six packs.
What's the Porter?
Yeah, the Porter, the Pipeline Porter, which is awesome.
Yeah, I really want to try that.
It's good. One of the best porters I've ever had. Really good. And an interesting note is they are part of the Craft Brewers Alliance. I know that Mike talked about them a few podcasts back. I forget who else is involved with the Craft Brewers Alliance. Like Pyramid or...
Goose Island.
Oh, yeah.
Goose Island and... Is it Pyramid or Red... No, Red Hook. Red Hook Brewing Company.
But their mainland draft and bottled beer is actually produced in Portland, Oregon, Portsmouth, and Portsmouth, New Hampshire, but they replicate the same formulas from Hawaii, and they actually have, when they brew batches of it, it's like something like they ship it back to Hawaii so they can taste it and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's very closely watched, even though they actually brew it on the mainland. They're making sure that it's done, you know, up to snuff. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B. The Alstrom Brothers have not rated it. Rate Beer gave it a 64 out of 100. You can serve this in a pint glass, which I'm doing now. You can cellar it from 35 to 40 degrees is what is recommended. It's pretty cold, and you serve it from 40 to 45. So basically pull it out of the fridge, pour it in your glass. You can find them in six packs on draft year round. So, pouring it, I get a nice orange, kind of cloudy orange color. A little cloudy. You can still kind of see through it, but it's a little cloudy.
And the Fire Rock is definitely a pale ale, huh?
It's looks a pale dark. Ale. Yeah, it's a little dark, but it's not too dark. And actually, I just noticed this. I'm pouring it into my Kona Brewing Company glass that I yoinked from Lulu's over there in Hawaii. So I'm getting
it. Now you're going to have a bunch of Hawaiians knocking at your door wanting their glass back.
Where's my glass? Okay, it's about I get about a half a finger of head.
You stole from Lulu.
Real malty characters on the nose. Not much hops, getting a little citrusy hops in there.
Whittle bits.
A little bit of honey.
Just the whittle bits.
Whittle bits of honey.
Just whittle bits of honey.
Whittle. Pretty mellow. Now I shall sip.
Let's just sip a little bit of that.
Still sipping on my beer.
Oh. Mine's dry.
Very strong malty. A little dry, but very, very malty. I'm not getting a whole lot of hops in the flavor. Very mild, kind of sweet.
You have hops over in Hawaii? What's up with that?
Yeah, you'd think that Hawaii would be a great place to grow hops. Very... Or maybe it's too warm.
Wet.
Gina says too warm.
We'll defer to Gina on this.
Hawaii. Isn't it like 70-something, like 70 perfect degree, 70?
Well, it does rain a lot. And
it's really, really humid. Yeah, it rains every day.
Yeah. So it's actually pretty thick on the tongue. I'm getting honey. Kind of sugary, maybe a little brown sugar in there. But yeah, not bitter at all. Maybe a little bit on the sides of the tongue, but yeah, all in all, it's pretty more malty thickness to it. And as far as pairing this with something, this may sound kind of lame, but I'm thinking Hawaiian.
Dude, that's lame.
Hawaiian pizza. some pineapple and ham pizza would go good with this, I think. Nice.
With bacon?
Well, not exactly bacon, but ham.
And some bacon.
Or if you're Canadian, back bacon.
And some back bacon.
Bacon.
Maybe some bacon. Not bits. Canadian bacon, regular bacon. And bacon. No, ham.
Can I drink now?
You keep making me say bacon.
This is going to be the pale ale / bacon show. Taste All it. Right, it's Chris's turn. Give him a chance to
All
drink
right,
some beer.
All right, put your wine in.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
So for my tasting flight this week, I'm going to be drinking the Real Ale Brewing Company's Rio Blanco Pale Ale. This is
I like that Spanish flair you just put on there.
Yes, Rio Blanco.
You like that?
I am Christopher Green.
The brewery is Real Ale Brewing Company out of Blanco, Texas. The website is www.realalebrewing.com. This beer has an ABV of 5.3%. IBUs are 26. They use the Czech Saaz hops with some pale malts. Interesting note about the brewery, it's called the Real Ale Brewery, but I don't think they actually do real ales. So, you know, as far as I can tell, they're not bottle conditioned. They're not cask conditioned ales. I mean, you may be able to find some casks around. I haven't seen any, but maybe closer to Austin, which is where Blanco, Texas is closer to, down in Hill Country, which is the Austin area. You might be able to find stuff.
Hill Country.
Yeah. Hill Country.
The rate beer rating is a 48 out of 100. Beer Advocate users gave it a B- and nothing from the Alstrom Brothers.
Nada.
So, with that,
racking up some good.
I think I will crack open some beer.
Drink some beer. I'm gonna drink along with Chris. I don't have the real.
Hey,
Blanco,
me too.
I'm gonna drink along anyway.
I'm gonna sip my Fire Rock.
So
I'm gonna sip my Sierra Nevada. I got a 24-ounce instead of 12.
On the pour. Actually, something else that I was looking at this bottle earlier today, and something interesting I found is they actually have a best if consumed by date on here. And I got this at a local grocery store here on Market Street, and it's a fairly new grocery store, and their consumed by date was June 6th.
It's possible this is a spoiled real ale.
Well, it shouldn't be spoiled. I mean, it's not like it was sitting out in the sun, but...
Well, you never know.
So, on the pour, you know, I got, like, about a half a finger of head, off-white, tan, gold, a little more copper color than the Sierra Nevada was. Yeah, not much not nearly as much carbonation as the Sierra Nevada had. Sierra Nevada had a lot of bubbles coming up.
Yeah. What kind of glass are you using there? It looks like an English pint glass.
Yeah, it is. It's an English pint glass. So it's got the little bubble out of the top.
It's sexy.
So you don't drop it while you're standing.
Yeah. On the nose, I'm getting, the yeast is pretty strong, so I'm getting lots of bready characters. Some hops, it's not overly hoppy, and they're more of a floral hop as opposed to a citrus.
For some reason I figured with the name and everything that it'd be much lighter in color. It actually looks, it's got a good copper hue to it. Like you said, I figured, you know, the whole Blanco pale ale. Okay, this is a white pale ale. This is going to be like super, super light.
Yeah, it's more just because of where they are. Blanco, Texas. They're
from Rio Blanco.
On the taste, I'm not getting much hops. It's mostly malt. A fairly full mouthfeel on it. Not oily, but just more of a full kind of feeling. It's not bad. Oh. It's there's not much to it. I think
it's got a good mouthfeel, but there's just not much flavor going on, or what?
Yeah, it's just there's just not much flavor. You know, I get a little bit of that bready biscuit flavor. Same thing on the hops, so they're more floral than I just don't get much taste coming out. It's you know, kind of a bland beer. It's just not really there. I don't know that. I don't know. It's okay. If I was gonna pair this with anything, I couldn't be anything very strong because of the flavors.
Pair it with a better beer.
Yeah. exactly. if I was gonna, you know, just
come on,
a hamburger, with something. Just something simple and straightforward. Nothing too out there flavor wise, because just about anything is gonna overpower this beer, I think. So that's my thought.
Like unsalted saltine crackers or something like that. Maybe some dry
some
toast.
Oyster crackers.
some plain white bread.
Yeah. A mayonnaise sandwich.
some bacon A's.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, that's enough.
A corn dog.
All right. My turn.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Okay. My beer.
Okay.
This week is the Smutty Nose.
Smutty Nose.
Pale Ale.
Oh, Smutty Nose.
The brewery is Smutty Nose Brewery. Smutty Nose being the seal, if anybody see the cute little spotted seal. That's a Smutty Nose. Anyway, this brewery is Smutty Nose Brewery. www.smuttynose.com. Smutty Nose was founded in 1994 by the folks who started the Northampton and Portsmouth breweries. If you've ever got a chance to get up to Portsmouth and see like this big brewery village type thing they got going on, you should do it. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it because I hear so much about it.
Do it.
Do it. This you beer is 4.
You have to do it. Get to the chopper.
4.5 ABV. The IBU is 30. The ingredients are as follows. The grain bill is Pale Brewers. Pale Brewers, Crystal Malts, Karistan, Wheat. Hop selection is Cascade and Chinook.
Dude, it can't be that hard to read. It's typed. It's not like you wrote it out long.
Yeah, but it's really tiny type.
That's what okay. Toby does.
It's tiny type.
Not anymore.
Interesting note about this particular beer. It was a gold medal winner in the Best American Beer in the 2003 Great British Beer Festival.
Wow.
So, take that. Rate Beer rates it 80 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rated it B+, and the Ahlstrom brothers actually weighed in on this one with a B+ well.
What'd they say?
They said B+ as well.
Oh, sorry, I was going ooh while you were saying.
Yeah. I'm gonna pour myself a glass of this pale ale.
Pour it.
Which is not so pale.
Pour it.
It's pour actually it. Okay. Come on, guys, stop it.
Pour it. Come on.
It's poured. I got about a finger of head, maybe a large finger, a little larger than mine. And it's got kind of a dirty hop smell to it. But there's some citrus in there, too.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, kind of dirty hops. Citrus. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you know how hops. I like the dirty citrus. It's got a... it's a hoppy pale, but it's... it definitely has kind of a dirty funk to it, which I've been drinking a few of these out of the bottle, which I know is a no-no for the whole beer tasting thing. But, you know, when you're sitting at a beach house all week.
Oh, whatever.
So I'm going to take a sip.
I'm at the beach house. Yeah, last year I was in Kona.
Chris is like, I'm in my office. But Texas, your beer is like cool. Arm's length away, dude.
This is true. My beer is arm's length away.
In his office. Did I mention that?
Every office should have a beer.
Still
got
that
fridge.
Dirty smell. It's good. It's got a good hop character to it. It's not overly bitter. I mean, there's some good bittering by the hops. But I almost want to... I mean, it's more of an earthy hop. Even though, I mean, it says that they use Cascade. I think the other hops in here are kind of taken over. It's not as citrusy as even the Sierra Nevada was. It's really... It's got some good grain to it, too. Like, you can taste the grains, and there's a good kind of sweet maltiness. It's really well balanced, I would say.
Well, that's good.
It's got a medium to full mouthfeel. I'd say more medium. It's not super thick, but it definitely has a fuller mouthfeel than, say, the Sierra Nevada does. If I were to pair this with anything, I'm going to go with a...
Dirt?
Like a...
Oh, sorry.
I think like a blackened dolphin. Like a blackened dolphin. You know, mahi-mahi. Something like that. Blackened or maybe like a jerk type seasoning.
Ooh.
That's what I would go with. For sure.
Bacon wrapped?
No bacon in this one. Sorry, guys.
Damn it. Hoping for bacon.
Yeah, I think that
need more that dirty bacon.
Kind of spicy fish would go well with this.
Oh, cool.
I'm gonna sip on this while you guys listen to the tweet of the week. Yeah.
Mike Gerholt says, on the dog walk today, I saw a pile of horse poo, beer cans, pop rocks, and eggs. I'm glad I wasn't invited to that party.
It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Backwash. Let's check the beer coaster's email and hotline. Yeah.
Okay, for this week's backwash, we got a backwash from Crazy Dave, and Crazy Dave says, great show, guys. Right on the money. Last call. All right, everybody, this is the last call. Hope you got your drink orders in. First up on last call, we're going to do our part ratings. Who is first?
Toby. I'll go first. Okay, for my pint ratings today, on our scale of, you know, 0 to 5 pints, with the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, I thought it was great. I thought it was a good, solid pale ale. It might be a little on the hoppy side, so I wouldn't say it's a perfect pale ale, but I really enjoyed it, and I recommend pouring it into a glass and trying it. If you think it's a little too bitter out of the bottle, try pouring it in a glass. It might actually mellow it out a little bit. So I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 5. As far as the Kona Fire Rock Pale Ale, I'm going to give it... I liked it. I'm probably going to give it a 3.5. It seemed... To me, it seemed more like an amber ale. It didn't seem as clean and crisp as what I would expect out of a pale ale. It wasn't... You know, I couldn't really taste any hops in it, so I'm just going to give it a good 3.5. It was good. It was drinkable. But as far as pale ales go, it was decent. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, for me, on the Sierra Nevada, I'm sort of in line with Toby. I'm gonna give it 4.5 pints. For me, it's just a good, solid example of a pale ale. I mean, they've definitely had enough time to refine it so that it's, you know, it is, you know, the gold standard for the American pale ale. So I'm gonna give it a 4.5. It's not, you know, quite a 5 level, because it's not like, it doesn't have that wow factor, but it's definitely got that solid taste to it. For my Rio Blanco Pale Ale, a little less enthusiastic about it. I'm going to give it a 3. Which is actually a little bit higher than I had originally planned on giving it.
Yeah, lower than that.
Yeah, it's kind of a meh. It wasn't bad by any means. It just was kind of there, you know.
Plus, I mean, you're kind of sipping on a Sierra Nevada prior to that.
Yeah.
So that could definitely have an influence.
Yeah, and maybe I just want a little more hops from an American style pale ale, and but it wasn't bad. So yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give it a 3.
All right. Two. For me, I'm giving this Sierra Nevada a 3.5. It's a good pale ale. I just think that it's hoppier and a little more bitter. I don't think it's as well balanced as some other pale ales I've had. I do like the hops, but you know, within the style, I just think it's a little on the bitter side, and it's not as balanced. It's more balanced than I remembered it, but just still not enough for me. With the Smutty Nose, the Shoals Pale Ale, I'm giving it a 4, because I like that little bit of difference with that that dirty, kind of earthy flavor to it. I did that with the, if you guys remember, the Victory Hop Devil. I really love that dirty earthiness to my beer, so I'm a little biased in that sense, so that's why I gave it a 4.
Mike likes dirt.
Yes, I like my beer dirty.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is imperial. Imperial is a term normally applied to beers that were brewed in Britain then shipped to the imperial court of the Russian Empire during the 19th century. Imperial was also used in late 19th century America as a designation for the top of the brewer's range, typically a pale stock ale of fairly high strength. The term was occasionally used in England around the turn of the 20th century. Of late, craft brewers have embraced the term and applied it to anything that moves. Stout, porter, brown ale, blonde, pilsner, and more.
So, if you would like to contact Smutty Nose Brewing Company, like I said, it's smuttynose.com. Any of you guys have any individual shout-outs or websites you want to mention?
You can check out AVBC, that's the Anderson Valley Brewing Company's website. I talked about them with their canning that they're doing now. And you can also check out Kona Brewing Co.
Yeah, Winter Solstice.
KonaBrewingCo.com for the Kona Brewing Company's website.
Yeah.
And with mine, if you just go to realalebrewing.com, you can check out Real Ale Brewing out of Blanco, Texas.
You could also follow us on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod. Look for us on Twitter. And also on Facebook. We are the Beer Coasters Podcast on Facebook. We also can be contacted individually. I am Mike at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And I am Toby at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And I would be Chris at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And you can email us backwash. We love backwash. We don't get enough of it. I swear, we just can't get enough.
This is all you listeners out there. This is your homework assignment for this week. Listen to this episode, and as soon as it's over, call our new hotline number and leave some backwash.
Oh, yeah.
It's new.
And that new hotline number, you can go to the website, and you go down to the bottom of the page, and you see the little call me with the phone on it by Google. You click on that, you put in your name and your phone number, and guess what? It calls you, and then you leave a voicemail. It's pretty sweet. It's amazing.
But you need to use it.
Right.
And you can also call the number directly.
Right, which is...
And that number is what, Toby?
It's 972-914-8502. But our backwash email is actually backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. And you can also post your comments on the website for each episode. So
what?
If you, yeah.
Directly on the website?
Nuts. If you,
that's
if
crazy.
You go to the website and you look at the individual episodes and there's a little comment tab. You just click on that and you can post a comment for the whole world to see what you thought about that individual episode here on Beer Coasters Podcast. It's freaking sweet.
You don't even have to post your real name. You could say, I'm...
Smutty Nose.
I'm Sally. Or I'm Joe Schmo from Idaho. It doesn't matter.
We Dirty Mike. And that website would be beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also check out the website and subscribe to us on the website. And you can also subscribe in iTunes. If you just search for Beer Coasters, we'll be the should be one of the first things that pops up. And then check the website on Monday for our next time on Beer Coasters. We'll let you know what the next beers will be, and you can drink along with us as soon as the episode downloads on Friday.
Yeah.
We can all cheers together.
And tell your friends' friends. And tell your friends to leave some backwash. And thanks for listening.
And don't forget to support your local brewery by drinking local. And also, of course, don't drink and drive, because that's just stupid.
Yes, that is very stupid.
Uh,
I don't have any particular extra comments or suggestions. Do you guys have any?
No, I'm done for the week.
No, but we want our listeners to let us know.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite beer or what your favorite beer bar is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Tell us your favorite beer bar. Let us know where it is, and maybe we'll go visit and try some beers there.
Like if you're here in Las Vegas, maybe we'll see
you
there.
Maybe we'll see you at the beer bar.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, that's Beer Coaster Mike. Hey, that's Beer Coaster Toby. Oh, hey, that's Beer Coaster Chris. I'm going to sit down and have a pint.
Cheers.
Mickey Mouse. Cheers.
Cheers.
You stole from Lulu.